session number 19022, Reel 1.
Donald Scrimger, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Hold.
Which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hull?
I lived in Hull. I later went to live in Cottingham and went to Cottingham School.
And how old
I left there at 14.
So that would have been 35?
35, yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I was an office boy in the centre of Hull.
Whereabouts?
A place called Hudson Smith's in the marketplace. And 2 years later, 3 years later, I joined the Hull City Police as a telephone operator, or as what they call nowadays a cadet. And I was in there until I went in the army as a cadet.
When did you go in the army?
1st of April 1941.
So 1939-40, you were in Hull?
Yes.
Do you remember Neville Chamberlain declaring war on Germany?
Yes, I was on night duty at the time, as a boy, and I stopped up deliberately to listen to this broadcast on the radio.
How did you feel about it?
Very mixed feelings, actually. I was apprehensive and yet wondering what it was all about, really.
Did the war affect you at first?
No, not really. Not personally, anyway.
Do you remember the Blitz in Hull?
I remember the raids, yes. And I also remember cycling to Gordon Street as a boy for 6 o'clock in the morning, and there'd been a blitz of firebombs during the night, and a policeman that I passed in Chandlers Avenue gave me an incendiary bomb to take into the station, an unexploded incendiary bomb. And fool that I was, I put it in the saddlebag on the bike and pedalled into Gordon Street Police Station with an exploded incendiary bomb in the saddlebag.
What was the address of your home in Hull during the bombing?
Number 3, 24th Avenue.
This is North Hull Estate?
North Hull Estate, yeah.
Did any bombs fall near where you lived?
Not at that time, but when I was at the guards depot, a bomb fell close by and damaged the roof of my home. And I got some compassion at leave from the guards depot to come home.
How much damage had been done?
Well, from the living room, you could see the sky through the roof.
What do you remember of any particular streets or buildings that were hit in Hull?
Nothing really now. I just remember damage in different places in the centre of the town, but not any specific buildings.
How do you think the public morale stood up in the Blitz?
Very well. Everybody seemed to accept it as part of what was going on, and it seemed to become part of normal life then, that you just carried on as normal as possible.
How were your duties at work affected by the bombing?
Nothing really, because my main job with the police force was clerical work and answering the telephone. And it didn't affect it much, although the policemen were on 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't get leave, and they worked 12 hours.
How did that affect them?
Well, people seem to accept things more easily than what I think they would do now. This is part of being involved in a war and what you might expect to happen.
Where was the office you worked from?
Gordon Street, in the Boulevard.
What, did many bombs fall in the Boulevard area?
Yes.
What was the public attitude towards the German enemy at that time?
Well, I was only a kid at that time, and you didn't sort of take any notice of these things. You just carried on as you expected to, these things to happen in a wartime.
Now, can you tell me about joining the army on the 1st of January 41, please?
1st of April 41.
1st of April 41.
Yeah. Well, in the police service in those days, there was a lot of ex-guardsmen. And it was always my intention, as I was going to go into a guards regiment. And so I didn't wait to be called up. And I volunteered for the army. And at the, I put my resignation in three times before it was accepted for me to leave the police service to go in the army. And I went to the recruiting office with two policemen, both ex-guardsmen, to face the recruiting sergeant as a recruit. And they told me what a privilege and honour it was to join the Coldstream Guards. And you know, they were sort of lowering the standards greatly if they accepted me. And I finished up signing on for the duration of the embodiment into the Coldstream Guards. Much to the dismay of my mother and father, as I was the only child. And I finally got into the Coldstream Guards at the third attempt.
And then?
I went down to the Guards Depot for the 1st of April 1941 and then just got in the sort of the chain of training that went on from there.
What was the basic training like?
Very hard. I'd just left my mother's apron strings, and to be plunged into the guards' depot, it was a different world altogether, and found it rather hard. But I'd volunteered for it, so I had to keep my mouth shut and carry on.
What in particular did you find so hard?
The discipline. Do you want an illustration?
Yes, please.
You weren't allowed out of the barracks for 5 weeks, and the first time we were allowed out on a Saturday, I'd chummed up with another guardsman, and he was a clergyman's son, a good living sort of lad and everything like that. And we paraded at the guard room at the guards depot, all ready to march out. We were examined by the sergeant of the guard, who told us that our badges were dirty, or our boots were dirty, and go back and clean them up. So we marched all the way back to our barrack room, cleaned our kit up, went back to the guard room. The sergeant examined us again and found another fault in our turnout, and sent us back to get cleaned up. And we thought, oh, to hell with this. So we took our uniforms off, put our denims on, laid on our beds, we were going to stop in barracks. And about half an hour later, a picket from the guard room came to our barrack room, shouted our names out, and told us that the sergeant had said we'd put our names out to go out of barracks and we had to go out of barracks, so we had to put our uniforms back on again and go to the guard room. We were there reprimanded for not obeying orders and going out of the barracks like we said we'd wanted to. Anyway, away we went, and we went to Purley. We met two girls there at Purley who lived in Croydon, which was out of bounds. So, being brave and reckless, we volunteered to take them back. They were nurses, actually. And we took them back home, and then we started to make our way back to Caterham, to the guards' depot. And there was a fire blitz on London. And as we were making our way from Croydon to Purley, we were stopped by an inspector in the Metropolitan Police who was trying to deal with an incendiary bomb at a garage at the side of a house. And he told us to, or asked us if we'd help him to bring buckets of water while he worked the stirrup pump to try and put out this fire of the garage, which we did. And the when he'd done his, when he'd put the fire out, he said to us, "I know what the game is at the barracks," he says. "I'll give you a little note to say that I've detained you while you're helping me to put out the fire." So we did that, and we got back to Caterham Barracks at about 2 in the morning. And we were there met by the sergeant, and we tried to explain what had happened and showed him the note. He said, "You're 2 hours late, which means you're absent without leave. In wartime, being absent without leave is the same as desertion, and for desertion you could be shot." And he pushed us straight into a cell in the guard room. And as he was a, my friend was a clergyman's son, and I'd just left my mother's apron strings, that was rather shattering, was that. Especially at Rivalli, when we got thrown out of the cell into a little corridor, and at the end of the corridor there was a stone wall with a tap inset in the wall. And we had to get in a queue of about 6 or 7 men and line up near this tap. But what alarmed us was that there was a sentry with a fixed bayonet just behind us. We thought, which was a bit much. Anyway, we shaved ourselves in this cold water from the tap without any soap or anything, in turn passing the razor back. But unbeknown to us, which we found out later, one of the 6 or 7 that was in this queue was a French Canadian who was being detained in there for attempt murder, consequently the fixed bayonet business, which didn't allay any fears at the time because we didn't know that. Anyway, the officer came round, the picket officer came round in the morning, wanted to know what we're in for. We told him, showed him the note, and so he brought us out the cells and placed us in open arrest, answering our names at the guard room every half hour in a different change of uniform. So every half hour we had to be at the guard room, possibly in PT kit, possibly in field service marching order, possibly in walking out kit, but every half hour we had to be at the guard room in a different uniform. And at Rivalli on the following morning, we had to be at the guard room to answer our names to the sound of the guard as soon as the drummer put the bugle to his lips to blow Rivalli. So consequently, we couldn't go to bed in case we were late getting back to the guard room the following morning. And then we were up on company orders and we were admonished. But that was first weekend out, walking out of the army. It was a bit of a hair-raising experience, wasn't it? And another thing, form of discipline that I wasn't too keen on, was scraping the gymnasium floor with razor blades. All the squad were on our hands and knees scraping the floor, the wooden floor of the gymnasium, with the razor blade.
For what reason?
Well, we hadn't been up to, the squad as a whole hadn't been up to scratch or something, and it was a form of punishment for the Saturday afternoon instead of going out.
Do you think this basic training did you any good?
Yes.
Why?
It disciplined me. It taught me that you might as well try and bang your head against a wall as go against the army. And the easiest way out was to do as you were told. It taught me that. And I'm only sorry there isn't more of it these days.
So that was your first experience at Caterham.
Yeah.
Then where did you go to after that?
Pirbright, to the training battalion. And I just went through all the normal channels there.
Was that much different from Caterham?
Oh, a little more relaxed, and you felt you were getting somewhere then. You didn't feel all fingers and thumbs.
And then?
From there, after I'd completed my training there, I went to Regent's Park Barracks and was put on draft for a reinforcement to the 3rd Battalion, which was then in the desert.
Were you very long in London?
I'd been promoted Lance Corporal while I was at Pirbright. No, only about a fortnight.
Were you under bombing there?
Where was I?
Were you under the bombing there?
Not that I recall, no. No.
So, after that, can you tell me about the trip, the voyage to...
Yes, it was... we marched from Regent's Park Barracks, and I don't know which station we marched to, but it was all hush-hush. Everybody was security conscious. And we marched through London on a Saturday morning with our topies strapped on the back of our pack. It was very hush-hush, was that, behind the band. We sailed from Avonmouth, so I don't know which railway station we went to.
Which ship did you sail in?
The SS Arawa, A-R-A-W-A.
What were conditions like aboard that?
Well, it was a refrigerated meat ship, and apparently its routine was to take troops out to the Middle East, go to New Zealand, pick up meat, and bring it back to this country. And the troops used to sleep in what had been the refrigerated holds of the vessel. And it wasn't a great big ship, but the food wasn't too good, and we're a bit confined. We sailed in October 42, and we should
have... October 42?
Yes.
41?
42. We should have called in at Freetown to refuel and rewater, but I think we were the first ships to call in at Brazil to refuel, because of submarine activity around Freetown. And we went into a port called Bahia in Brazil. And we were there about 3 or 4 days. We weren't allowed ashore or anything. And we had the Brazilian army guarding the jetty where the ships were berthed. And from there we sailed to Durban, where we had the most marvellous welcome by the nicest people imaginable.
What did that consist of?
What, their kindness?
Their welcome.
You thought a lot about food in those days. And the canteens were free. You could go in and eat as much as you wanted of food that we hadn't seen for years in England. Eggs and steak and all that sort of thing. And we'd come off the trooper at dinner times, and there'd be lines of cars waiting to take soldiers about the town or wherever they wanted to go, and they were very welcoming and very kind. And even though there's always been black marks put up against the South Africans since then for apartheid and that sort of thing, as far as I'm concerned, as an individual, they were fine. And from there, I went up to Port Tewfik in Egypt and disembarked. And I went to the base depot. That's where I met Jack Holness, at the base depot. He'd been wounded at Knightsbridge, and he'd come back there. And being from Hull, I met him at the base depot. And I was with him there for about a fortnight until I got sent to the battalion in Syria.
What had been your first impressions of the Middle East, of Egypt?
Well, outside Port Tewfik, I don't know whether it was there deliberately or not, but there was a field punishment centre. And it was a barbed wire compound. And I saw these prisoners going round and round in the sand. I don't know whether you saw that film with Sean Connery in The Hill, but it was it appeared to be very much like that. And I don't know whether it was there deliberately, so troops coming straight out there had some idea of what they could expect if they didn't conform.
So you went as a reinforcement to Syria?
Yes, joined the battalion in Syria, because they'd been in Knightsbridge Box and they'd got knocked about and lost a lot of men, and they were reforming on Mount Hermon, just outside Damascus.
And which month might you have joined them, do you think?
January. January 43. I know it took about 3 months for the voyage to get us from England to Syria, to Egypt.
What kind of a welcome did you get from them?
From the battalion? Oh, well, you're all in the family and you just accepted. I was in the signals then, the signal platoon, and you just merge in with everybody else.
What type of signalling was this that you had to do?
Wireless, telephones, and let it be said, semaphore and heliograph.
Was there much call for that?
No. None for heliograph. None for semaphore, actually.
Which company is this, or the Coast Ring Guards?
That was in a joint headquarters company in the 3rd Battalion then.
And who were you under at that time?
The
which individuals?
The colonel was Lieutenant Colonel Sir Terence Faulkner. My company commander was Captain Clark, and my platoon commander was Lieutenant MacDougall.
What did you think of them?
Aloof. There's a difference between a guards officer and a line officer. I was a line officer, so I can say there was a difference.
What is the difference?
Briefly, in my opinion, in the guards regiments, the battalions are run by the sergeant's mess. One of the expressions you'll hear most from an officer is, "Carry on, sergeant." Whereas in a line regiment, more of the organisation and actual command of the unit is by the officers' mess. Whereas the guards officers were aloof. And I'm not being critical of the guards officers in that respect, because when there was anything happening, they were there.
Why should there have been a difference?
What, between the guards officers and the line officers?
Yes.
I don't know. But as an illustration, the guards officers always seem to want their little officers' messes as soon as possible. Whereas in a line regiment, if you're with your company or your platoon, and if there's any shortage of food, it was always the officers that were at the end of the line, and if anybody went hungry, it was the officers. Whereas you didn't always realise that in a guards regiment, as I say, because they were so intent on having their own little officers' mess, even if it only consisted of two or three officers.
So what was the first thing that happened to you at Mount Hermon?
Just the snow affected me as much as anything. There was such a lot of snow about, which I never thought there would be in a place like Syria. But we weren't there long, because we then came back to Egypt to get new vehicles and new equipment and a reorganised battalion.
Whereabouts in Egypt was this?
Kassassin. Sometimes it's spelt with a Q-U or sometimes with a K.
Can you tell me about this equipment that you got, please?
Well, it was all new equipment, new vehicles. As we were a motorised infantry battalion then, part of the 201 Guards Brigade. The other regiments in the Guards Brigade were the 2nd Scots Guards and the 6th Grenadiers.
And what was Kassassin like?
It was just a bit of desert as far as we were concerned. We just got these new vehicles and took us about 3 days to get equipped with everything. And then the battalion set off along the coast road to rejoin what was the fighting in those days.
Was the battalion pleased with the new equipment?
Oh yes, everything was new. The standard or the just the fact of getting there?
The standard of the equipment?
Pleased with it, yeah. It was all good stuff. All brand new and everything like that, but never compared with the German, really.
Theirs was better?
Oh, yeah. Contrary to what everybody said.
So you then moved up to the line. Can you tell me about that, please?
Went along the coast road, and then I don't know where it would be. Tobruk, Benghazi, somewhere around there, I got dysentery. And I was sent back to hospital at a place called Marble Arch. I presume you've seen photographs of it or heard of it.
What's it like?
It's a great big arch across the coast road that was erected by Mussolini. And I went back to this field hospital near the Marble Arch, which consisted of some marquees.
How did they treat it?
Treat me? Oh, very well. I just got the usual medicines and that, and I think I was in there about a week actually, and then they turned me out to told me to rejoin the battalion. They gave me a sandbag with a tin of bully beef, corned beef, tin of peaches and some dog biscuits, and a bottle of water, and told me to work my way back to the battalion. I asked if they knew where the battalion was. They hadn't the slightest idea. But they knew they were going up the desert. And the hospital would be about half a mile from this track. And so I picked up my equipment.